Well, good morning, and welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and I'm glad to be with you. If you hear it in my voice, I'll apologize if I don't make it through this morning. I did too much yelling at a soccer game yesterday, I think, so I'm going to do my best here and try to make sure you can hear me out there. I do have a few announcements I wanted to share with you as we get started for today. First being next Saturday, May 25th. We do have our next game day sign up, the sheets on the board downstairs. We just get together and play games, and it's a lot of fun. We play cards and board games, bring your favorite, or come and learn a new one. It'll be from 1 to 3. Is that right, Sandy? 1 to 3? 3 to 5. I wrote it down wrong on my sheet. It's from 3 to 5 next Saturday, if you want to come and join us for that fun time for the game day. Also, well, for this afternoon, for those who are signed up to go bowling, Sandy's asking if you can meet us at the lanes about 12:45 so we can get everyone paid and ready to go. They'll have the pizza ready for us at 1 o'clock and we can get on the lanes. So if you can meet us there about 12:45 today for that bowling, we appreciate it. Also, our men's group is planning for their meeting on Thursday, May 30th. That's a shift of a couple weeks. So they're going to be making some plans for the picnic anniversary party and everything. So that's on Thursday, May 30th. The men's group is meeting. And that takes me right to our 200th anniversary activities. I have a whole list of things, which is an awesome thing here. They asked me to note today is the last Sunday that they're going to be selling the logo wear shirts before the anniversary. If you haven't gotten one and you're interested, they have the table set up downstairs. You can stop by and see them, and they'll get those ordered here. They also have the basket raffles that'll be starting next weekend, next Sunday. If you want to bring a basket in, they're still accepting donations, of course. And I think they're all ready for preview, if I'm not mistaken, in the library. You can see the baskets that are out there that will be going up for auction next week. And then just a reminder that June 15th, it's a Saturday, will be our picnic and the concert. Our wonderful choir will be singing. Cynthia Ford is going to be coming back and playing some organ for us. Jenna Hodgkin is going to be playing for us. It's going to be a great afternoon of music and fun and food. So that's June 15th. And then June 16th is our worship celebration, that Sunday morning that we will be celebrating our 200th anniversary. So I hope you can put those on your calendar. We will be having a meal following the worship service on the 16th. There is a sign-up sheet downstairs on the wall. It's right next to the serving window in the fellowship hall. We're just asking if you can sign up so we know how much food we're going to need. It will help the organizers out a great deal. So that's down there as well. And then the final announcement I have on my sheet, you may have gotten one if you were here early coming in this morning, but these are the slips for the Memorial Day flowers. I hear that we actually ran out of them, which is an awesome thing. But if you didn't get one and you want one, they are $7 a flower for each geranium. If you want to make a note on a piece of paper, on an envelope somewhere so we have it, just note that you want to get Memorial Day flowers, include the $7, and then who it's in honor of, who it's in memory of, and of course, who's placing it. So we can get those turned in. We need them turned in here today so we can get those ordered and have them ready for Memorial Day. But those are the announcements and things I had to share. So I'm going to invite you all to stand with me as we start our time of worship. We're going to sing our opening hymn. It's number 413, A Charge to Keep I Have. Will you stand and sing with me our opening hymn?
Thank you.
Will you pray with me? Holy One, on this day of Pentecost, ignite within us a fiery passion for your mission in the world today. Warm us by the Spirit's dancing tongues of flame, that we may feel your kindling blaze within us, urging us to do your greater good. Lord, we pray that you make us wholly present to experience a new birth. Awaken possibilities within us to share your love in this world. For it is in this love and abundance that we come to celebrate your harvest, a harvest bearing the first fruits of the Spirit within us. Lord, show us how to use these gifts as we listen for your truth in the gentle breeze of your Spirit. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for this morning is coming to us from Leviticus. It's Leviticus 19, verses 32 through 37. Stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales and honest weights, an honest ephah and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Keep all my decrees and all my laws and follow them. I am the Lord. This ends our first reading for today. And for our choir anthem, is it the ladies group? Do I have that right? We do have our women's portion of our choir that's going to be singing for us. They're going to be singing the perfect wisdom of our God. I invite you to sit back and enjoy as the ladies sing for us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies. At this time, I'd like to welcome any of the children that are with us. The students or youth would like to come forward to join me on the steps for our time with children. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
That good, huh? It's a good morning. All right. Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today?
Good.
Oh, there we go. Someone's awake in here, at least. All right. Someone's going to hear me. I like that. Well, at the start of service here today, I mentioned that today's a day we recognize in the church. It's the day of Pentecost. Have you guys heard that before? Do you remember that story? Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost? Anyone have you heard it, but you're not quite sure? You remember? Your brain stopped working? Okay, that's fair. Well, the day of Pentecost was a day after Jesus had died. After Jesus had died on the cross, and he'd come back. And then he descended into heaven, and he told the disciples to do what? Yes, Margaret has a broken toe. Thank you for sharing. Right after he went up to heaven, he said, I need you guys to go and wait for me. Go and wait, and I will come to you. I will send my advocate to you, he said, was what he said, which an advocate's like a friend or my helper. And so, well, he told them to go and wait. And so the disciples, they listened, and they went, and they were waiting in an upper room, we're told, in a small room. And that as they were in this room then, all of a sudden, on the day of Pentecost, the windows started rattling and shaking. The wind was blowing through the room. It was rushing through the room. And then tongues, like a fire, flames that looked like tongues, started descending, and they rested on each of the disciples, each of the people that were in that room. They had these tongues of fire rest on them. And we recognize that as the day of Pentecost, as the birthday of the church. It's the day that the church started. Last year, I brought a birthday cake, and we put birthday candles on it. And you might remember, I couldn't get the candles to go out then on that cake. So I didn't want to do that again today. I didn't want to take that chance again here this morning. But we do celebrate it as the birthday of the church. Thank you for untying my shoes. You are so helpful. So helpful. Come here. There you go. Thank you. So we yes.
Somebody's birthday.
Who's? No, we don't need to celebrate my birthday. It is the birthday of the church today that we're celebrating. No, my birthday was last week. We don't need to worry about that.
And the one. And the two.
You just stop. I have no idea what my lesson was supposed to be about for this time right now. I am totally lost. It is the birthday of the church, and we celebrate that, and it is a reason to celebrate, and we're celebrating right now, too, our 200th anniversary. We've been talking about that for our specific church here in Romeo, Michigan. It's the church's birthday. Isn't that an exciting thing, too? And I kind of love that when I think about it, because our church has been here for 200 years, but then the church that the disciples started, that they started after Jesus left, after that those tongues of fire descended on them, it's been here for almost 2,000 years at this point. And I just think that's really awesome to think that here we are, worshiping God. We get to do it every week. We do it on Sundays. We do it through our missions, our ministries, our times together. And people have been doing this for a long time. And I guess I just think it's so awesome that it's our privilege right now that we get to continue doing it for the next however many years we're here, and then hopefully many, many more years after that. There'll be more boys and girls sitting here, more people sitting in the pews, that we continue to get to celebrate the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church. So I'm glad you guys are a part of the church. I'm glad we get to celebrate it. And I'm going to send you off to Odyssey before you really throw me off my game anymore. So will you guys say a prayer with me? Will you say a prayer with me? All right. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, I give you thanks for children's voices. I give you thanks for the joy they bring to us, the ways they help us to reflect on you and your love for us, and how important it is that we continue to share that love. Lord, we celebrate the birthday of your church, the day that you came, you sent your advocate, your Holy Spirit, to live in us so that we can share your love, share your message of hope with everyone we meet. Jesus, we love you. We know you love us, and we say thank you on this day, and we pray in your holy name. Amen. All right, guys, thanks for coming up. You can head back if you want, or back to your seats. I'm going to tie my shoe. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. Wasn't bad enough dealing without a voice today. Now I get to deal with untied shoes and completely losing my train of thoughts. There's a reason we laugh, though. There's a reason it puts a smile on our face. We are thankful for those children. We're thankful for all the children who are part of our church. It is a joy we celebrate. And it is this time that we take to celebrate those joys that we have in our lives, the life of our church. And we also take time to lift those needs and concerns, the struggles we're having that those in our congregation and our communities are having. And I have just a couple that I wanted to highlight here real quick. The first came from Judy Larimer. We've been praying for Jim for some time. He's had quite a number of health struggles and setbacks. When I talked to him earlier in the week, Jim had made it home. He was out of the hospital. That was about Wednesday. Then yesterday, we got a message that Jim is back in the hospital again, continuing with the struggles. Judy's just asking, please continue to keep Jim in your prayers, but also his medical team, that they can find some answers for him. There's a new medicine they're going to be trying, hoping that it'll give him some relief. But just continue to keep Jim and Judy. She's running around, getting him to these places and appointments and everything else. It's wearing on her, too. So we keep them in our prayers. I know they were going to try to watch this morning. So Jim, Judy, hopefully you're out there. And we are praying for you guys here this morning. Also want to ask for continued prayers for Sue Rhodes. We've had her in our prayers for some time for healing from her fall and from the ongoing chemo treatments. I spoke with her this week, and she's approaching being able to put 50% weight on that injured hip from when she fell, which is a blessing. It's slow but sure that she's doing her therapy and getting stronger. She said they're also talking about looking at transitioning her home, which is an answer to prayer, of course. So we continue to keep Sue in our prayers for healing that she needs, and just are celebrating those victories with her. And then just this morning, Sandy stopped me and let me know that she'd heard from Trevor and Carol. Trevor, our former pastor, was supposed to go in for a procedure this past week, and apparently there were too many other procedures that came in that were more emergent than his. So his procedure did not happen last week. It's scheduled to happen tomorrow at this time. So please continue to keep Trevor in your prayer for that valve replacement that'll be happening tomorrow at Cleveland Clinic. We keep them in our prayers. And those are all the ones that I had shared with me ahead of service. Nathan has the microphone here. You're welcome to raise your hand if you have something to share, and he'll bring it out to you here this morning. And that's okay, too.
Continue prayer for Beth.
We continue to keep Beth in our prayers. Absolutely. Thank you, Nathan. Even if we don't have those that we need to give voice to, we recognize that there are plenty of needs in our world, in our lives, in our community, and we can pray for those. And that's why we take this time each Sunday to have a moment of silent prayer, to speak to God, to share with him the feelings of our hearts and our minds and our souls. So I'm going to invite you to take this moment and go to our God in silent prayer. As we've gathered here today, O Lord, knock us off our seats, we pray. Knock us off our seats with the wind of your Holy Spirit. Don't let us just sit back and rest as though nothing important is happening. remind us that you have come to bless and prepare us for your service. Now is the time of proclamation and celebration. Now is the birth of your church. Not as an exercise in futility, but as a dynamic group of people who know you, who love you, just as you know and love each of us. Fill up our hearts, flame up our hearts, we pray, with that Holy Spirit. Make us so joyful that we find it difficult to sit back and watch. We want to be a part of your healing ministry, your healing love for this world. We want to be your people who bear the word that your love for us is eternal, that Jesus Christ, our Savior, proclaimed and taught that love in all that he said and all that he did, modeling for us a new way to live. Lord, pick us up and propel us forward into your world. Help us to remember that you have given to us what we need to be your disciples. We simply need to say a resounding yes to you, O God. Lord, we thank you for all the wondrous patience you have shown us, for all the blessings you have poured out on us into our lives each and every day. And Lord, we offer our lives back to you in joy and hope. And Lord, we lift to you those people who are unable to be with us today for one reason or another, for health, for travel. Be with them. Keep them safe. Offer them your comfort and strength where it's needed. Lord, we pray for those situations around our country and around our world. Those people who are dealing with pain, suffering. Those people who feel like hope is lost, remind them that there is always hope in you. Lord, we've prayed these things. We pray them all in your Son's holy name. And together now we pray this prayer that he taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Invite you to again stand with me as you're able as we continue our time of worship with singing our hymn number 454, Open My Eyes That I May See. Will you stand and sing number 454? Thank you. You may please be seated. And as you are, I just pause for a moment to give thanks to all of you, as we do each week, to recognize the amazing work that happens because of the people in these pews, the work we do here in our community and beyond through the faithful giving of so many. It is a reason to be thankful, a reason to celebrate. In just a couple weeks, I'll be heading to annual conference for our Michigan annual conference, the State of Michigan United Methodist Churches. And I just saw the reports that are starting to come out for some of the things that will be discussed. But one of the reports that comes out is the Engage Michigan congregations. That's churches that meet their apportionments, their payments, their our monthly givings to the church, but then goes above and beyond and gives to missions and ministries locally, nationally, and around the world. My friends, there are not a lot of churches that reach the Engage Michigan status. But guess what? We did. We are one of those churches. Because we make it a priority. Because we make it part of who we are. And I'm thankful to all of you. Thankful for your continued faithfulness. Thankful to our finance and missions team for their stewardship of those resources that we can be in mission and ministry around the world. And so I remind you that we do have our offering box on the wall behind the organ if you wish to leave a gift here today. We also have our online giving at romeoumc.com. Let me offer a word of thanks for this collection we have here today. Heavenly Father, as we've gathered for this Pentecost Sunday, Lord, we are reminded of the transformative power of your Spirit, how it can breathe life into dry bones, ignite the hearts of your people. Lord, just as you enlivened that early church with the wind and fire of your presence, we pray that you empower us today to speak into the brokenness of our world. Lord, may our offerings, the gifts brought here today, be a testament to our faith in your promise of renewal and restoration for all the world. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our second scripture reading has taken us to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll hear verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and discipline yourselves for the sake of your prayers. Above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. My friends, this is the Word of God, the promise of God, the hope of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, last week we started our 200th anniversary celebration, officially at least. And over these next few weeks, we're going to continue taking a look back at some of those earliest mothers and fathers of our church. Last week we looked at the Bailey family, and specifically Cynthia Bailey and her role in our early church. We looked at the faith it took for her and her husband to pick up their family and move from New York to brave coming across Lake Erie, to brave the wilderness that was Michigan at that time, to make a new life, but also that they did so while bringing their faith with them. If you remember, one of the things that specifically stood out to me that I pointed out was that Cynthia was born in 1798. That still sounds like a long time ago to me. Yet before she died, she would have had the chance to sit in this very room, this very building, and worship our God. People have been worshiping here ever since. We're thankful for the faith of all those mothers and fathers that have gone before us, showed us what it means to put our faith into action throughout life's challenges. And this week we're moving to another family, looking at another one of those early families. This week we're going to be looking at the Finches, Albert and Chloe. And while I just highlighted that Cynthia was born in 1798, Albert Finch beat her by about 23 years, being born in Dutchess County, New York in 1775. He and his wife married at the very end of the 1700s, and their family eventually started the trip towards Michigan around 1800. And by 1823, they found themselves settling in Indian Village, which, as we all know, is what Romeo was formerly called. They found themselves right here in this community. And in those years from 1800 to 1823, the Finch family grew. Albert and Chloe would welcome 10 children over the course of those 23 years. However, as we've talked about last week, we note that the life of the early settlers was not an easy life, and four of those children would all pass before the age of five. Yet through the notes we have, through the stories we have, we know that the Finch family remained strong. They remained faithful. Albert and Chloe, they raised their children to know God, to have a faith of their own. They raised them to be good neighbors. Even if those neighbors were quite few and far between at that time, they raised them to welcome all. They taught them the words we just heard from 1 Peter this morning, to be hospitable to one another without complaining. And the Finch family, especially in our church's history, showed that hospitality, because it was in 1824 that Elias Petit rode into Indian Village. Elias Petit was an itinerant circuit-riding preacher from the Methodist Episcopal Church. And there are many, many churches throughout our area, throughout this thumb region of Michigan, that owe their planting, their founding to this man. He was quite active at that time. They can trace their roots back to him, and we can as well. He had quite a large circuit he rode, starting in the southern edges of what is now Detroit, all the way up to the tip of the thumb. And as Reverend Petit, as he expressed his interest in this area and forming a group and forming a new church, it was the Finches that offered him the space for that group to meet in. They hosted those gatherings. And thus the Finch family barn became the first official meeting place of the first gathering of Methodists in this area. To the best of our knowledge, the roof was still intact when they were meeting in it. Let me just point out. However, being that it was in the early 1820s, we don't have a lot of pictures. This is the one remaining photo we've been able to locate, a painting of that barn. And Albert Finch would have been about 46 years old at this time as that group started meeting. And as I mentioned, he'd been through a great deal of pain and loss during his life. Yet he still held on to that which he knew was true. He held on to his faith in God. He held on to his call to love and serve his neighbors, to be hospitable to one another without complaining. And that Finch family barn was used for about the first 4 years of that Methodist group meeting here in our area. It was the church's home until 1828, when the first schoolhouse was completed and they began to host the church's meetings. If you happen to make it to our tacos and trivia night that we had a few months back, you might remember that there was one other significant event in the life of the Finches as they lived here in Romeo, and it too was a tragic one. But it was on March 31st, 1828, that Albert's 4-year-old son, Alanson, was returning home with his older brother from the sugar bush where the locals were making maple syrup. As brothers are known to do, they decided they were going to race home, and they took different routes to return home that day. However, while the older son did return to the family home, the younger son, Alanson, did not. And there was a thorough search that took part. All the community went out looking for that young boy. And the end result was they never found him and believed that he was abducted by an Indian tribe that was in the area at that time, taken never to be seen again by his parents. It was yet another experience of heartbreak for the Finch family. Yet in the midst of all that, all that they endured, there are still many notes in various sources pointing out the types of people that the Finches were. As I mentioned, as was evidenced by the Finches, it was a hard life for those early settlers. And while there were surely children that were lost, there were also parents who were lost. So there was often orphans to be found, children who needed a home. And in the history of the Macomb County, it's noted that an orphan girl, Clarissa Williams, had lived with the Finch family for some time. And in the history and hauntings of Romeo, Michigan, the author also noted that the Finches regularly welcomed all who needed a place to rest their head, all who came to Indian Village. There were no motels, there were no hotels, there was no place to stay except for the hospitality of the men and women who lived here. many who found their way to this area were welcomed by the Finch family, by the hospitality of the Finch family. And I think that's what really stuck out to me about their story as I read it this week, as I've been preparing, because I think that sense of hospitality, it's something that was imbued into our church at an early time, and I think it's something that has endured in our church throughout its history. That spirit of welcoming those who come through our doors, and not just those who come through our doors, but those neighbors, those in the community, those that we can reach out to and provide for. I can't help but think that it was some of those first meetings at the Finch family barn that ingrained that hospitality into the very nature of the people called Methodists in Romeo, Michigan. And while they endured much and gave much to others, Albert and Chloe, they did remain heartbroken over the disappearance of their young son. And it was just a little over a year after his disappearance that they too ended up passing at the ages of 51 and 52. We do have a picture of their shared headstone. It looks a little worse for wear all these years later, but their headstone is still in the cemetery, still in Romeo Cemetery there. And I know I've alluded to this and made a few mentions of it, and she's not here this morning, but Nancy Domke has done such an amazing job in looking into our church's history and finding so much of the information that I'm using and sharing over these sermon series. She's used the work of Eileen Locke, our longtime historian. She's gone digging into the archives at the library. She's been searching online, finding any resource she can to look at the past of our community and our church. And I have to say a word of thanks to her for that, and I hope you will as well when you have a chance to see her. And if you didn't know, Nancy was a teacher in her career, and she basically handed me ready-made lesson plans that had all the notes. I got stacks of these from her on each of these families. They were ready made with the information, with the pictures, with the documents, all those different references. She put some work in for this. So again, I say thank you to Nancy. But I'm also wondering if I might have found a nugget that Nancy didn't know about, that she hadn't found, because it wasn't included in any of these notes. I double and triple checked to make sure. But I found it in the History and Hauntings of Romeo, Michigan. Someone actually dropped it off for our basket raffle, dropped a copy of that book off. So I was thumbing through it, looking at the sections on our church and on the Finches. And as I was reading the section on the Finches, it recounted the tragic disappearance of Melanson, coming to the same conclusion that he was likely abducted by Indians. However, in that book, it continues, the story continues, because 16 years after the child was taken, a person about 20 years of age appeared in Romeo claiming to be a Melanson Finch. He told stories of having been brought up in the area, and being taken by the Indians and raised by them from his home. Of course, Albert and Chloe had long since passed, so some other locals, including the Baileys that we talked about last week, tried to identify him, tried to ask him about his story, to identify if it truly was the young Finch boy. And from what I found there was no certain answer to that question. Some believed it to be him because of the appearance that he looked like his father. Some didn't believe his story, thought he was just trying to cash in on the family's name. So I can't tell you what became of that 20-year-old man. And this is me maybe putting my hopes into it, but I sure do hope, I sure do believe that this church received him all the same. That as he came home looking for the family he'd lost, he found it in that group of Methodists meeting in Romeo, Michigan. And I believe that they would have welcomed him, would have received him and seen to his needs, because let's face it, that's just who this church is, who the people who worship here are. Our places of worship have changed. We see the various buildings on the screen. The people sitting in the pews have changed. But through it all, the Spirit of the Lord has moved amongst the people called Methodists in Romeo, Michigan. And you know, for all the changes that have happened over our 200-year history, there's one thing that has traveled with this congregation. There may be others as well, but there is this one thing that I know has traveled with us, and it is the Finch Family Bible. There it is on the screens. If you want to see it, it is in the display case in the cabinet downstairs in the library. It's the original Bible that would have been used by that first gathering of six individuals in the Finch Family Barn. It contains the family records of many of our early church families, but of course, first and foremost, it is a Bible. And I kind of love that. And I know that might not sound strange for a pastor to say that he loves the Bible. I hope that doesn't sound strange. But to me, there's something about knowing that since the beginning of our church, we have carried that Word of God with us. All the change has happened in our community since that first time it was called Indian Village. All the different people who have sat in the pews over all those years. Through it all, we have carried that word of God with us. We've taken that word, the message it contains, and we have shared it with one another. We have shared it with the world. And it's from that word that I truly believe that original spirit of hospitality emerged. It's from that word that the spirit of hospitality and welcome still exists today. I invite you, come on a Tuesday to a His Table meal. Join us for an afternoon of cards and games in the fellowship hall. Stay for fellowship hour after church, because let's face it, that often becomes fellowship 2 hour in our church. And you know I'm not exaggerating. Come as we host a meal for a family that's dealing with the loss of a loved one. Stop in on a random morning of the week. I don't care when you come. I don't care why you come. I don't care who you are. If you come into this building, you are going to be welcomed and you are going to be received. You'll be welcomed by an amazing group of people who have taken the word that's contained in that Bible and buried it in their hearts. You will be welcomed with radical hospitality, with generosity, with the same grace shown to us by our Lord and Savior. Because it's who we're called to be, and it is who we are. The Finch family lived through some difficult times. The life of those pioneers in the wilderness of the 1800s, it was not an easy life. Daily survival was not guaranteed. Yet they made the worship of God a priority. They made extending the hand to a neighbor or even to a stranger a part of who they were. Here in the modern day, here in 2024, our lives look different. The challenges we face look different. But in the many comforts that we have that are available to us, are we still going to choose to make worship and Christian hospitality our priority? As I've shared by the church calendar, today is the day of Pentecost. It's the birthday of the church. I say thank you to Linda and Beth for a couple of beautiful new banners to go with us today, the red color on theme for Pentecost. It is the day that the Holy Spirit rattled the windows of that small room where the disciples were gathered, where tongues as a fire descended and rested upon each and every one of them. Those first followers were filled with the Holy Spirit on that day. It gave them the strength, the courage to go forth and do what was necessary, to endure the challenges, to spread the good news. Some 2,000 years later, I think we could use a little window rattling around our churches. I think we could use the Holy Spirit filling us up and firing us up and encouraging us to go out and continue to spread that good news, to use it in Christian love, to proclaim the truth that we know. Jesus Christ is Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, descend upon our hearts today, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us, strengthen us, make us your people. People that welcome, people that love, people that proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord. My friends, let us proclaim it here and now. Let us proclaim it always. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let's all stand, if you're able, for our final song. Build your kingdom here.
Set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church, we need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first, we hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, For your joy and prize, to see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness hear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Unleash your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us more, much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness hear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
My friends, God, out of God's great love, has created you. Jesus Christ, out of his great love, has redeemed you. The Holy Spirit, out of great love, has lifted and inspired you to go in peace and service throughout God's world, proclaiming the good news of peace, love, hope, and joy to all. Let us go in peace. Let us go with God's blessing. Amen.